to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's a wild football Tuesday, to say the least, here in Berea. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. In a little bit, we want to replay our interview with Ray Farmer, in case you didn't catch it at the top of the show. We think it's something you need to listen to because Ray had a lot to say, and it gives you, I think, a pretty good window into how he's thinking, how he's looking at things, Nathan, and we're going to play that in a little bit. But to kind of summarize, and great visit by Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, you know, I think that whole theme of Jimmy Haslam, quote, taking his team back is dead on.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is very much dead on. And when he said it, you know, this, I think this is the best coach for the Browns. I think this is the best GM for the Browns. I thought that, you know, you want to get a little bit more of the answer in a situation like that. And he didn't do that. I thought he was very classy in the sense that he just praised, you know, Lombardi and Banner, which begs the questions, if they were that great, why are they still not here? But,
right.
You know, I don't know that we'll ever know those true answers. It's a read between the lines situation.
It was awkward from the start because of how the marriage was put together by the National Football League. And I don't know, and people have asked me the question, why did the NFL push Haslam to Lombardi? Why did he put them together? Banner, and then by extension Lombardi, because that's who Banner brought in, and they had their connection going back to Philly. But I know Joe Banner, after leaving Philadelphia, was in the league office for a while, and I know some top executives there were very much in his corner, one being Jeff Pasch, league attorney. There were other people at the very top lieutenants of Commissioner Roger Goodell who were very much, Eric Grubman is another name, and that they were instrumental when Randy said he'd sell the team, and of course Jimmy Haslam had wanted a team and had talked with the league about getting a team from his time as minority owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the thinking was, just as he said about not having a handbook or a guide to run this, you need somebody who can basically run it for you or at least be very instrumental in your ability to run it. And I don't know if that ever, and that being Banner, and I don't know that that ever was a good fit for Haslam. He accepted it because getting into the club, even though you're a multi-billionaire, getting into the club that is NFL ownership is not an easy thing to do. And I think once he was there, he felt obligated to kind of go along with what the league wanted done. And it wasn't the first time, by the way, the league has kind of planted or inserted somebody from their domain into Cleveland. This has happened before. In Browns, Coquinas, you know, go down,
sure.
I shouldn't say, I want to say not Coquinas, I want to say Mike Keenan was here. He had been at the NFL Management Council. John Collins had been, VP of NFL Marketing. We had worked together at the league office. So there have been people who have come in here in that realm. And not necessarily, you know, true football people. They're all like business. Keenan was a bean counter, numbers guy. Collins was a business guy, marketing guy, brilliant, and he's the number two guy in the National Hockey League in that regard, knowing that stuff. And now Joe Banner, who fashioned himself as a, quote, non-traditional football guy, but I think that non-tradition ultimately worked against a traditionally minded owner like Jimmy Haslam. I think he's more tradition minded.
I think so, and I think we saw that today. We wanted to hear from you. 216-578-0850. In hour number two, we will hear once again from the new general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, and then we're going to open it up to you. Get your reaction here all second hour long. 216-578-0850. We'll kick that off real quickly right now with Bob on a cell. What's up, Bob?
Three questions. Number one, Farmer's interviewing in Miami and mysteriously backing out. Do you think he had any signals that things are happening in Cleveland? Number two, if you were Mack and Ward, would you feel more secure today that you would be renewed? And number three, I thought it was very critical when you talked about Farmer's first pick for the selection. He said he would take the best athlete, and I'm rooting for Sammy Watkins. I'd like your opinion on all those questions, please.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the first one begs that question, Bob, and I see exactly where you're going, and I've had the same thing. It's curious that he said no to one team when it looked like he might go down that road and take his dream shot to be a GM to stay here. I at best, and I don't know this to be a fact, but I would feel confident in at least speculating that there was some level of timing to that decision and the, remember, these discussions that Jimmy Haslam referenced with Joe Banner about the structure of the team seem to be a little bit expanded here, but I can't say whether it's weeks or days or how the overlap occurred. But somewhere along the line, he came back to the Browns, and somebody said to him, kind of hold tight here. You might have that opportunity. That's just my sense. It's hard to believe that that didn't happen, even though no one is saying specifically that it did or that he was told anything specifically. But look, the Browns clearly had a say in his staying here. He didn't stay here because he, let's get one thing clear. He didn't just turn down the Dolphins without any input from the Browns. Whether right. it's contract or however it was right. done, he had an incentive to stay. I can't speak to exactly what that incentive was. He had incentive to stay beyond just saying, oh, I love Cleveland.
I think that is true. I think to address the last question about saying that he will take the best athlete available, I think that that's what you have to do. You have to put together a draft board and you stick with it. You can't put positional need over the importance of somebody on your list. Whoever you have is the best player you have to get. I think he stressed that. I like that. I know that there have been many teams in the NFL that go ahead and put together their boards and don't go by them, and it ends up costing them in the long run.
Great, great point. And to the question about how this, what this might mean for Alex Mack and for TJ Ward, I think it's possible that the door opens a little more to retaining them, because I think philosophically, Joe Banner, I'm gonna take a guess here, but I think his feelings about certain players when they get to a level of free agency and that you can kind of move on at certain positions, trusting more the analytics of it and the number, what the numbers say about this versus that human dynamic and what it means to have guys like that still in your team and in your team's uniform, and the importance of the continuity there on the offensive line and in that secondary. I'm not guaranteeing this means that they're both staying, but I would say that I dare say that possibility is probably greater than it would have been if Banner were here. All right, we're going to go back to our discussion that we had at the top of the show. We want to play that again for you with Ray Farmer, the new GM of the Cleveland Browns. That is coming up on CBD.